Welcome into the BBP2 in our second Inquirer Bengals podcast of the week. Every Thursday during the season, we'll bring you more specific game preview insight from players and your Cincinnati.com beat writers. But that's only the beginning. Every week, we'll bring you Paul Daugherty's hot seat with our guest on Beyond the Stripes, our advanced analytics conversation with the team at Pro Football Focus, as well as a Throwback Thursday interview with a voice from Bengals past. All right, let's go. All right, welcome to the BBP2. Round two here as the Bengals get ready to head to Foxborough to take on Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They were joking about Brady's homecoming game. There's going to be a parade and everything. I mean, yeah. Our good friend at Bengals.com, Jeff Hobson, he said it's going to be a surly bowl. It's going to be a surly bowl on Sunday. They're all going to be steaming off the Red Sox L's.
Yeah, you know, especially a clean break was needed from Dallas. Yeah. So why not look for, at least that's the way the team is looking towards New England, and you're right, it's it is a surly bowl.
Surly bowl. Not going to be a happy atmosphere. What are the, like, so the odds are out. Bengals are 9.5-point dogs. We talked about it a little bit on Tuesday. What odds are you giving the club?
Clearly, to win or to cover?
To win. It's a daunting task. I mean, they could go up there and play great and still lose.
Like 10%. Yeah, nobody. I mean, they've lost like two home games in like 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady, I think since Gillette's open, heard something ridiculous. I think they've lost 18 times in his career.
Yeah,
since they've played there, and they're obviously, I know this earlier this year they were shut out
without
some other dude running around with a broken thumb or whatever was happening in that game. So sure they can win, of course. That's why they play the game.
Yeah,
Herm. But it's really, really good teams that are healthy and clicking don't win there either. So.
By the way, I came across this one. Anytime I always love, because when we do our game day section, that's in the paper every Sunday, previews everything. We find a lot of different numbers and stats and trends and stuff like that. And Patriots Week is great. I remember this from 2 years ago. There's just so many absurd numbers.
Yeah,
there's so many things that just make you say this is ridiculous. How about under Brady at home? In the last 5 years, when they score first, 26-1.
Yeah.
26-1.
Yeah.
When they score first, that's it. They score first, it's over. You might as well pack it.
Right.
That's a crazy set. And there's so many of them. I mean, I what was it? Aren't they 48-1 at home under Brady against an AFC opponent? I saw that one, too.
Yeah. So 10% sounds about right.
10%, maybe 10% is the right number. Especially a Bengals team that's reeling right now and trying to figure out what to do. As far as news, we bring you some of the news where everyone wants to know about Tyler Eifert. He didn't practice Wednesday.
No.
He was out at the walkthrough.
Yeah.
Which we didn't see, but we were told.
Yeah.
But he was not out anywhere at practice.
And who knows what that means.
You would like to see him at least on the rehab field.
Right, right.
I mean, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
I
know, especially the rule, you know, we talk about this, Marvin Lewis's rule, what, you got to practice, unwritten rule, maybe it's written. You got to practice at least once.
He needs to practice in full.
Yeah, I think that's the thing where this, just because he's not there Wednesday, just because some guys aren't there Wednesday, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think he needs to be there on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
and do it from beginning to end.
Right. So until, could be a while.
Listen, I'm not going to, on Friday, talked to Marvin Lewis. We had a little session, and I don't even know what to say about what he said, because it was, there was so much, not garbage, but just left open. You know, well, backs are weird. You never know. Back, they're tough. It's tough to know. And we've had guys. We've got 10 guys out there with back issues right now. And we've been told, our people have told us before, that guys have back issues and they'll never play again and that they're still in the league. And Leon Hall last year, he had a back issue all year and he only missed one game. And, you know, guys just learn to get back. And it's not about pain. It's about flexibility and all of this stuff. But to me, all of that shows why no one should be counting on anything.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know with that area. So, I'm not going to sit here and waste minutes after minutes after minutes on every podcast discussing something until we see him out there go through a full practice. Because until then, Marvin Lewis has been known to say things about injuries before and them not quite come to fruition. So we'll just kind of let it be what it is for now. But when he practices, we'll tell you, and then we'll discuss it.
Yeah.
But until then, I don't know that it's even worth getting to it too much into.
Well, the one thing Marvin Lewis did say injury-wise that bore out was Jeremy Hill will practice on Wednesday. You know, and he did. Even though earlier in the day, he was in a sling. But, you know, when I was walking out, I asked him, I was like, Jeremy, are you good? And he kind of looked at me and said, well, this looks a little different than Monday. Because he wasn't in a sling on Monday. He's like, no, I'm fine. So, that's one of those things, Paul, where our business is so, reactionary. Oh, so-and-so is wearing this item post-game. I always hesitate for stuff like that because it's like, I don't know, especially a road game. Like, so many things are done for precautionary reasons. And I guess where I'm going with that was, I don't know. It was relevant, I guess, if he didn't practice, right? So he did.
He did practice.
But he'll be limited for
sure. He'll be limited. He practiced last week too, and they purposely scaled him back.
Right. So I could see that happening
in the game.
Again.
Yeah. I would definitely think that's going to happen.
Yes.
Because he got hurt in the game coming in the few touches he had. He only was in 15 snaps.
Yeah.
He didn't start. He basically switched back when they were first switching Gio and Jeremy back and forth a couple years ago, Jeremy's rookie year, early in that year, it would be two series for Gio and then one for Jeremy and then two and one. And it seemed like they were kind of going to that a little bit. And maybe they would put Jeremy in a goal line type situation since he's kind of their goal line back. But we never got to find that out because he never got near the goal line.
Yeah.
But then Jeremy got hurt. That would be my anticipation that we would see in some sort of scaled back version again, where Gio's going to be the main guy.
You know, is this the beginning or kind of harking back to the beginning of 14 in a way? Giovanni Bernard's your starting running back. And
that's not good because last time they went to New England in 14, it didn't get well at all.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm speaking more in generalities. I'm just curious if that's, he's an option in terms of the pass game that Jeremy Hill isn't. That running game hasn't worked. I don't know.
You're right.
It'll be interesting to see if
no Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
I mean, same as 14.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only difference was in 14, A.J. Green was sort of hurt. I mean, he was playing through pain all year.
Yeah.
He had turf toe and all kinds of stuff.
He showed up on the injury report, too.
He did that. Sorry, Bengals
fans. What are you trying to say?
I'm sorry, Bengals fans. You're not going to want to hear that. I would say that was probably precautionary. Follow us on Cincinnati.com.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that as the week goes on here and you get closer to the game, he'll have practiced and be fine.
Yeah.
He was out with the team. He wasn't even on the rehab field, just laughing. They do that all the time. Guys, it's out of Wednesday. It's sort of like vet rest, but if you have a little ding, just give him a day off. No reason
except
to go
when you're 85. You got to practice on a Wednesday.
He's different. He's different. He's got to go prove that he can handle it. AJ Green doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. All right, so I guess that's kind of where the news is at, if you're into such things. One topic I want to go into that I'm really interested in, and Zach Buchanan stopped by for us this week. Our Reds writer, hope you all know Zach, follow him from all the Reds coverage. This was his first year covering the club. But when they get done, he kind of wanted to get out and do something because he'd been kind of in his own little world, taking some time off after the season ended. So he came out and pinch hit for us and wrote our matchup of the week for the special game day, for the game day section, about the tight ends. And because you cannot talk about a team like New England playing the Bengals and not talk about Gronkowski and Martellus Bennett, because tight ends just continually haunt this team.
Yeah.
Over and over again. And the last time they played there, it was one of the biggest reasons they lost. It was Gronk and a guy named Tim Wright. He's not in the league anymore.
Yeah.
Combined for 11 receptions for 185 and two touchdowns.
Was that the fantasy week? Remember, Tim Wright was the hot fantasy draft pick that year.
Pretty sure that was it.
You know why?
He got traded over. Because everybody thought he was going to be like play like Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, he was on my team.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's why I remember Tim Wright.
You get so bitter about this stuff. So bitter. Oh, which, by the way, fantasy, I wanted to mention this when we're talking about Gio. What a great play he'll be this week.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go down by 15 or 20 and get into that passing mode where everything is a dump off to Gio, and he'll have 10 receptions for 120 yards, and he'll probably have 15 carries.
Yeah.
Well, he'll probably have less carries than that, but he'll probably get 20 touches this week.
Belichick does take away the best player.
Yeah. He'll take away Green, and it'll be a lot of dump-offs to Bernard, especially if they fall behind, which they're expected to do. Anyway, we're talking about tight ends. Martellus Bennett was – we talked to Bill Belichick on the conference call this week, and I sort of asked him about Gronk and Bennett together. That was the first time they played together with Brady, obviously.
Yeah.
But Gronk had been hurt, and Bennett was new. And now Brady shows up. They're just kind of getting that together. And he told us, you know, I can't really tell you about what they're going to be able to be playing off each other because they haven't really had a chance to explore that offensively yet.
Right.
I mean, that was sort of like preseason training camp type stuff against the Browns last week, literally, like an exhibition. But that's that should be a very scary thought if they went for three TDs and Gronk went for 100 yards last week, and they're just still figuring it out.
Especially because Josh Shaw was getting beat by a dude 10 years older than him and way hurt, way more hurt than Jason Witten. Josh Shaw did not look good covering Jason Witten. It was two plays, but guess what? One went for 31, and one was another first down.
Yep.
So what do you do? Do you just chalk it up to, hey, Jason Witten runs good routes and whatever, or... It's a mismatch for any team. Normally, I would say I think the Bengals are more capable of handling something like that because you'd like to think Sean Williams, while he's not 6'5", is physical and can get down in there. Maybe George, who physically is a match for Martellus Bennett, but I don't know the way they're
down there on him
exactly
when you can't you're having trouble preventing the deep ball anyway.
Exactly. So all of those things, it is a scary matchup.
Or maybe that's why a big part of the reason Carlos Dansby's here. He's supposed to be a coverage guy.
Yeah.
He can do that type of thing. So maybe Carlos Dansby is an answer to try to track. But I
maybe.
Mean, yeah, but he's 34-year-old linebacker.
Have to be. Yeah.
I mean, that's just a matchup disaster for you. And it has been for years around here. They have not been able to really cover tight ends as well as they'd like. So that's certainly, to me, one of the biggest matchups to watch. You could see a huge day for those two.
Yeah, I want to throw this out there just so we're on record with it, because in case it happens, we can find out who is listening. I wouldn't be shocked that the thought is T. Brady throwing it 45 times, 500 yards, right? Would you be shocked if the hoodie ran LeGarrette Blount 30 times, right up the gut, 9 on the line, zone blocks. Let's see Bengals. Can you stop it 2 weeks in a row? I'm just going to put it out there. They're going to throw it around, but it's just one of those things.
That's an interesting thought.
This team is so willing to just change what it does to beat you that, you know, why not? I mean, look, LeGarrette Blount, they feed him the rock. He got 18 carries last week. It wasn't great, but... You know, they're not afraid to.
No, they're definitely not afraid.
So I just want to put that out there. Even, I mean, he might only get 10 carries. They throw 500 yards, whatever. But I wanted to put that seed out there that, you know, it's McDaniels and Belichick.
Yeah,
who knows?
They're known to do the unexpected for sure. Andrew Whitworth, we were talking to him about that concept on Wednesday, and he said, "I've been in games where we planned for something all week." He said it was his second or third year, so around 7, 8, somewhere in there. And we planned for something all week, and they came out, and the first play was exactly what we'd been planning for, and the other 68 were something completely different. He's like, and that's the genius right. of him. You know, and same thing when we talked to Ken Zampezi about it this week. He said some people relish the continuity and stability of doing the same thing every week. So those guys are just, they're good at what they do. And some people live for the versatility and the multiplicity of offense and defense. And that's Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
They want you never to know what to expect. And they want you to have to adjust on the fly.
Right.
Because they feel like and have proven that they are the best at adjusting on the fly.
Right.
So if you get into an adjust off, you're going to lose. And that's why I think guys like Zim and Hugh really loved.
Yeah.
They feel like they're the types of minds that could.
Right.
And I'm sure Zim and Gunther the same way, but they, you know, Hugh and Zim were more open about it.
Yeah.
The enjoyment right. Of that challenge. And even Hugh last week when he had nobody on his team said he really he just couldn't wait for the chess match.
Yeah.
So
I just want to throw that though. At least say we brought it up.
It's an interesting thought. You know. I could see anything happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not surprised by anything, and that's the scary part. I mean, you know, they could also just continually try to throw it over the top.
Yeah, that too.
Both have had success. Yes, this year.
Right. LeGarrette Blount throws a deep.
What wouldn't they try to do? Let's see. They've had nothing but success with tight ends on the Bengals linebackers. They've seen the Bengals get beat over the top all year, and they've seen the Bengals get run on.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything.
Yeah. That's the big problem going back to how we started this podcast, Paul. I don't think they're a bad club, the Bengals. I thought from the beginning that they would lose this game. It's just a matter of how they lose, in my opinion. Do they look a little better than they have the first 5 weeks in a lot of ways? We'll see.
And we the one that we do know defensively what they're going to do, I feel.
Yeah.
They're going to – A.J. Green, I'd top him out at 4 receptions.
Yeah, sounds about right.
4 for 35. How's that?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have be force-fed just because Belichick is going to – to anybody
else.
Anybody else.
They might throw 3 guys over there.
Yeah.
Why not? It's worked already. Far less, you know, talented teams.
Remember, they cut Brandon LaFell.
Yeah.
So you know how they feel about him.
Right.
At the very least. And, you know, they're clearly not scared of anybody else.
Right.
So the Bengals haven't shown them to be able to run the ball. So there you go.
Yep.
I think we know what they'll see. And so let's get to predictions here and wrap this up before we get to got, of course, the hot seat with Pat Sims from Tuesday.
Warmed
and,
up?
Yeah.
Hot seat warmed him up.
Hot seat warmed him up a little bit. We'll have PFF talking about the offensive line issues. And then Throwback Thursday this week, former Bengals quarterback and now high school football coach in Texas, John Kitna, talking about all kinds of stuff. So we'll get to that. A little bit later. All right, so when we start getting our picks and our predictions, you know what that means. We have to remind everybody, these predictions, they are for recreational purposes
yes,
only.
Yes.
However, if you want to go somewhere and be non-recreational purposes, I'm pretty sure we got the place for you. You got to get in the action. Play like the pros at mybookie.net. You know, it's the most exciting online experience for sports fans, Jim. You know that, though.
Yeah, I honestly, Paul, I actually spent a little time out out west, and I enjoy playing with real odds and player props. That's the best thing for me. And yeah, mybookie.net, you know, especially when you get when games have already kicked off.
When you were in the sports book, what was it?
Giants Cubs scoreless app.
It's fantastic. Yeah. There's so much stuff like that out there. It's fantastic. Too late to make a play. It's optimized for smartphone users, and it's nonstop action. The promo code BEAT, and you'll be entered into their $1 million. Or you can call 844-722-2387. Join the thousands of online and up today. All right, let's get to the predictions. You said what your prediction was, but do you have a score?
Go Vegas odds. Yeah, the Patriots are going to cover big number. Bengals under Marvin Lewis in the Dalton era don't really
biggest number in the Dalton era cover 9.5.
Yeah,
I open at 6.
27-17 Patriots. Again, Paul, I mean, it sounds like a broken record, but it is that this Bengals team can't score. I don't think they fix it this week at that place. And the Patriots score. Look, you know, Tom Brady last week, that was sort of the anomaly. I mean, they hadn't really put up a ton of points prior to. I do think the defense plays better than last week. So I think the 27 New England scores will feel differently than the 28 Dallas did.
Yeah.
So now 27-17 is 10 points. You know, depending how that goes, I think you could still maybe feel good about it, quote unquote, if you're a Bengals player or fan. But I think they lose.
I think they lose, but they do come away feeling good. I do. And there's a couple of times I've mentioned this game, and I feel like this could be one that we talk about, and that was when the Bengals lost to the Broncos back in 2012 and Peyton Manning was rolling with Denver and came in here and did what they were
right.
Huge. I mean, everybody assumed they were going to beat them, and they did. But the Bengals played well in that game, and while they lost, they played well, and you saw them turn the corner in a number of areas. I feel like we're going to see that. I think there's too much pride. This team has won too many games to just be one that rolls over 2 weeks in a row. And I just think that the mood and the vibe this week is going to be one of it's going to be pretty serious.
Yeah.
There's just too much pride. You know, I come back to that. I just don't think that they're going to allow it to be a Brady fest.
Yeah.
Now, I could be wrong. I could definitely be wrong. But I think it's going to be closer than you think. So I have 26-23. I think New England wins, but I do think the Bengals keep it close and they can hold their head high on that a little bit, and then they can roll a little bit on a schedule that's easier.
Yeah.
At least they hope to.
Yeah.
Certainly for 1 week they will. When Hugh and the Browns come in, they'll be 0-6. So that'll be that. All right, let's wrap her up. Like I said, coming up, we're going to start you off with the hot seat, Paul Daugherty and Pat Sims. Pat Sims talking about how much he wishes he could still ride roller coasters.
Yeah.
But when you're over 3 spins.
Yeah. I felt bad for him. He was so sad about it.
He kept bringing it up.
Felt so bad for him.
Poor guy. Can we get this guy a big man coaster?
Yeah.
Can someone build a coaster that can handle a big man? It's 2016, people. Get Pat Sims a coaster.
You know what? Pat Sims ain't the only dude pushing 3 bills walking around the streets.
No, have you been to Kings Island?
Exactly.
Half the people there push at 3 bills. Big man coaster. That's what I want. Come on, BBP listeners. Anybody has any pull in the coaster community, get one for P. Sims. Then you're going to have my PFF conversation with Steve Pelizzolo, lead analyst over there, Pro Football Focus down over the Rhine, talking about offensive line. Cedric Obwehi, you're going to want to cover your ears on that one. He kind of go in on you a little bit. And then Throwback Thursday this week, John Kitna, former Bengals quarterback, talking about really interesting, talking about his career and, you know, his time here as playing for Carson Palmer and being the backup and, of course, the playoff game and you know, so many elements of his career. So anyway, hope you enjoy all of that. It's been good bringing it to you on BBP2. And we will head out to New England, and we'll catch you next week. So have a good one, everybody.
Pat Sims, you're on a hot seat.
Woo!
Now, I take great pride in researching this segment I mean, I'm doing everything I can find so I can find interesting questions to ask people.
Okay.
I spent about an hour and a half looking for stuff about you. It's like you're in the witness protection program, man.
You gotta stay low key.
There is nothing there. You're not a social media guy at all, are you?
I don't.
No Twitter?
No.
No Facebook?
I do have a Facebook.
Do you actually post on it?
No.
No, you don't. I know that. How about Instagram?
I have one.
Do you post on it?
No.
So what we're going to do here is going to be painful because I got nothing on you. Nothing.
I'll see if I can answer some of these.
We were talking off air about the seriousness of youth football in the state of Florida. Mm. And I did a book with Chad Johnson once, and he told me, he's playing Pop Warner, he's 7 and 8 years old, and there are adults at the game betting on these football games. Now, have you seen that?
I've heard about it.
And what kind of money is being thrown around at an 8-year-old's football game in Florida?
It's money.
It's money.
It's money.
More than the rent money.
More than rent money.
More than the car payment money.
Yes.
More than you might win on the lotto, 4-digit lotto, if you win like 10 grand. More than that.
Possibly.
Possibly. All right. So they're five-figure bets on little kids' football games.
It's embarrassing to say, but it is.
Tell us one thing about yourself that you are positive that we don't know.
That I'm a chef.
The what?
I'm a chef.
You're a chef.
I can cook.
Outstanding. You ought to put that on Facebook sometime.
Got to keep it to myself.
What do you cook? What is your expertise?
Anything. I cook pasta, steak, ribs, whatever.
And where'd the interest in that come from?
I don't know. My mom cooked a lot. My aunties cooked a lot, and I was always around my family, so...
Yeah.
You know, I just took an interest into it.
Now, you're one of 10 kids.
Yes.
I found that. How about
you
that? You didn't volunteer that. I had to dig it up from somebody
else.
You
did dig that up.
Your mom better be a good cook. She got to cook for 10 kids.
Yes, she is. She's a great cook.
Now, how did that work, having 10 kids in the family?
Well, I was the youngest, so the closest brother or sister to me is about 13, 14 years older than me.
No
so
kidding.
I was at the house by myself because I was a late bloomer.
So you were lucky.
I was lucky.
You didn't have to fight for scraps at the dinner table.
Nah, not at all.
You'd have your own room.
I did.
Wow, aren't you lucky?
I am, very.
Now, how did it come about that you were 13 years removed from everybody else?
You got to ask my mom and my dad.
Mom and dad were surprised right there.
They were surprised about that.
I bet they were. Do you remember everybody's name, all your siblings?
I do.
Go ahead.
I had Greg, Pumpkin, Andre, Mandel, Roscoe, and then I have Vonda, Gwenda, Kreisha, and Iris.
Very good. What do you do at Christmas time?
To be honest with you,
yeah,
I wait after Christmas to do everything.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Do you shop for all of
no,
your siblings?
No, I do not shop for all of them.
How does it work? How do you decide who gets it?
I mean, I give gifts throughout the year, so I can't just wait to Christmas time.
Okay, so it's like you spread it out.
Yeah, I spread it out the whole year.
Now, do they all buy for you?
Not always.
No?
Not always, but I understand why.
Okay. I got to figure that it's... a little complex with 10 children in the family. Is your dad still working? Does he work?
No, my dad, he's been retired for a long time.
Good for him.
My dad's actually 82 years old.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Does he ever see you play? Does he ever come up to Cincinnati?
Yeah, he comes up every year. He's actually trying to get ready to come up soon.
Good for him. Mm-hmm. Are they all down in Miami still?
Fort Lauderdale? Between Fort Lauderdale and Georgia. Well, St. Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, not St. Pete, but Statesboro.
Okay. How are they with the hurricane and all?
Everybody's good. Everybody's
good. Were you
worried
about that?
I would, but we're used to it.
Yeah, but that was a mean hurricane.
I know. We done been through some mean hurricanes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ever get flooded out? I mean, you have to abandon, evacuate?
Mm-mm. Never had to evacuate.
Who's your best friend?
Patrick Lee.
And who's he?
He used to play, he went to Auburn with me. He actually played for Green Bay.
Okay, and why? What makes him your best friend?
I mean, we could talk about anything. He's been there for me.
Yeah, yeah. What's your perfect day?
My perfect day?
Yeah. You can do anything you want.
Relaxing and watching movies.
Movies? You're movies. A movie guy.
Movie guy. I love movies and TV shows.
Yeah, like what? What's your favorite movie?
I watch Transformers, Jurassic World, anything that's good. I watch every movie.
You ever see Diner?
The TV show?
No, Diner, the movie. It's my favorite movie
ever. I haven't.
Check out Diner.
I'm going to have to check that out. I'm always looking for new movies.
Huh?
I'm always looking for new movies.
This is about a bunch of guys. One guy's getting married the next day. It's about a bunch of guys, how they're doing that night before the wedding. They're all Baltimore Colts fans, and it's the night before the 1959 championship game between the Colts and the New York Giants.
Oh, okay.
It's a football movie, sort of.
Okay, I'm going to check it out.
I want you to check it out and give me a full report.
Gotcha.
You played basketball in high school as well, right?
I did.
You were a state champion as a junior.
Yes.
And
I heard a sophomore.
Really? Mm-hmm. Two-time?
Two-time.
Okay. I heard today when you were doing an interview with some guy in Oakland that you were checking guards. You were guarding the other team's guards.
I guard anybody.
So you're out there at, 270 guarding a guard.
You might need to go do some homework. Anybody. I was guarding.
Yeah.
From the 1 to the 5.
How'd that work?
It worked in my favor.
Really?
Of course.
Well, not of course.
Of course.
I mean, you're chasing around a guy.
Hey, back then I was young. I can move like that.
You're saying you can't move like that now?
No, of course not.
You can't move like that now?
No, of course not. Of course not.
You act like you're an old man. I'm an old man. Can you dunk?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
You style when you dunk?
No.
Just straight slam.
Straight slam with power, baby.
Yeah.
Got to give it to him.
Did you ever think about playing basketball at Auburn?
I did at one time, because basketball was actually like my first love.
Really?
Yeah. I love basketball.
You play at PBS now?
Sometimes, shoot around.
Who's good? Who can you take that's good?
Who can I take that's good?
Yeah.
Nobody now.
Nobody? Not even your own teammates?
No, because there's some people that was on our team that's pretty good. Used to be. I haven't really played, but we still shoot around.
Yeah.
So we used to have a full court in there, but we only have a half court now, so we just shoot around.
I got you. All right. If you could be anyone other than yourself, Pat Sims, who would you be?
Probably my father.
Your dad?
My father.
Why?
Very stand-up guy. You know, he just got all the answers. He's a great person.
Yeah. That's nice. Mm-hmm. I thought you'd say some movie star or some athlete or somebody famous.
No.
Your dad?
My father.
That's awesome. What is the hardest thing about being a large man, a large individual?
You can't do everything the small people do.
Like what?
Roller coasters.
No roller coasters?
No roller coasters.
Just can't fit?
Just can't fit.
Okay, like they pull that thing down and it won't go all the way down?
You want the craziest thing? The last time I went to get on a roller coaster and I got on the thing, it actually stopped and said we couldn't go anymore.
So no roller coasters.
No
what
roller
else?
Coasters. Really, that's about it. That's what I used to love. That's what I used to like to do. I used to get on a lot of roller coasters growing up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've talked to six foot ten basketball players. Mm-hmm. Complain about the beds. They complain about the airplanes. They complain about the shower heads in the hotel. They hit them like right here.
I mean, that's all. I can work with that.
You can work with that.
The roller coasters. I missed them.
That's true. Tragic. Cars or clothes? What's more important?
What's more important?
Yeah.
I'd say cars.
Cars are more important?
Yeah.
What car did you get that fit you that you liked that wasn't that Ferrari?
I got a 750. My first car I bought was a 750. Well, my first car I actually bought was a Murado, Mercury Murado.
Uh-huh. And a 750, what's that?
A BMW.
A BMW. See, those of us in a different tax bracket, when you say 750, we don't know what you're talking about.
I got you.
All right.
Got to get something that fit.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. 750, is that nice?
Yes.
Yeah. It fits you.
It does.
It does. You have to put the seat, way back.
Not really, because it's actually a big car.
Okay. You walk in the parking lot at the stadium, you see everybody drives trucks. You have a truck?
No, one day.
I'm going to get one day. What are you waiting for?
Just not ready for one right now. I still love my cars.
I got you. Do you put a lot of miles on? My car is 272,000 miles on it.
Not that much.
Rank these in order of importance. Faith, hope, charity.
Faith is number one. You say faith, hope, and charity. Faith and charity and hope.
Good. How often in an average football game do you get held?
I say a couple times a game, about two or three
times.
Just
a couple?
Yeah, a couple times a game.
I mean, some guys will say they get held every play.
Nah, I'm realistic.
Yeah, all right.
Not every play.
Two or three times.
How often
does it get called?
I think I got one call this year.
One?
One.
So you played five games, you get held between 10 and 15 times, you got one call.
One call.
Do you talk to the refs and say, watch this guy?
I mean, yeah, you talk to them, but that's up to them to make the call.
Yeah. You can't sway them a little bit?
You want to.
But it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work.
All right. Tell me something funny Geno Atkins has said to you.
I some stuff got to stay in the house. Some stuff got to stay in the house.
Yeah, yeah. If Carlos Dunlap played quarterback instead of defensive end, how easy would he be to sack?
Not very easy.
Why do you say that?
It's quick. It's fast.
Yeah. Can you beat him in one-on-one?
One-on-one in what?
Basketball.
Oh, Lowe's? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lowe's not a basketball player like that.
Okay. Do you ask Carlos Dansby for grooming advice?
Nah.
We had him on here, and we talked all about his products.
Yeah, I heard about it. I use it. I use some of them.
Are they any good?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's got them in big-time department stores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's doing pretty good.
He was going to hook me up.
Yeah.
I think I'm beyond help, though. You know what I mean?
I got you.
What was your favorite toy as a kid growing up?
So, like basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah, basketball. And then golf clubs. I used to play golf.
You play golf?
That was my first sport.
Really?
Yeah, my pops put me on it.
Are you good?
I haven't played in a while, but I'm about to get back into it.
How far do you hit the ball off the tee?
It's been a long time. But I went to Topgolf the other day. I hit about 170 yards.
170?
About 150, yeah. About 150.
From?
From the tee.
That stinks.
I mean, shoot.
Even I hit the ball 200 yards off the tee.
Like I said, I haven't played in a while.
Yeah, but when you were good, when you were playing.
I was younger. It's been a long time.
I'm like twice as old as you are. You know that? You're talking about... You got a lot of years ahead of you, my friend.
I do.
Do you have any questions for me?
I'm good. It seems like you got all the questions.
That's it for the hot seat tonight. Thank you very much for being on.
Let's hear it for Pat Sims.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of Bengals in Focus here at Pro Football Focus Studios and over the Rhine down here in Cincinnati. I'm here with lead analyst Steve Palazzolo. Steve, you know, we've done this before this year in these segments where we've looked at the Bengals offensive line after a day like the Bengals had on Sunday against Dallas. It's hard not to look back into it again. We talked earlier this season about small sample size. The sample size is growing now. Five games are in. The Bengals let up 17 sacks. If you look through their franchise history through the first five games, it's almost as many sacks as they've ever had. It's one of the five worst starts that they've had up there. Of course, it's not always one person. It's a little bit of everybody. But where are you seeing the biggest issues coming from through these five games?
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about after the week one game when I think it was seven sacks for Dalton, it is a little of everybody, but Cedric Ogboihe at right tackle has really struggled. He's given up the third most pressures in the entire NFL right now among tackles. And you saw it against Dallas. He really struggled just losing contact, losing first contact, letting guys inside of him. And he struggled on stunts, too. That was something that showed up in the Jets game in week one, showed up again against Dallas. The stunts have really kept Cincinnati's Bengals offensive line off balance all season.
And with Cedric away, he's the only real new piece on this line. The other four guys are back, and this is a group that has been amongst your best in pass blocking efficiency in recent years. So it's easy to say it's that guy, but when you look at it compared to Andre Smith, who was here the past year, last year he gave up, you guys had him for 22 pressures. Cedric away, he is currently on pace for 70. And so you can't say one person, because you're, I mean, even Andrew Whitworth gave up a couple of sacks, which we rarely see, but that affects everything. And so what are you seeing in the percentage of those dropbacks, and what's that meant for Andy Dalton as far as what's end up being negative plays?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a little bit, multiple things at play here. I think with Andre Smith, even though he was on the decline the last couple of years, giving up a lot more pressure than he had, I think you can see some of, you know, the stunts we're talking about. It's communication issues and new players. And if Smith was probably a little bit better at communicating and staying on the same page with his line mates. But I think when you look at Dalton, and one of the stats that I love to look at is the percentage of pressure that turns into a sack. And Dalton's usually in that 15 to 18%. It's when you're pressured, is it a sack, or are you able to get rid of the ball? This year it's up, and he's actually tied for first in the league, getting sacked more than any other quarterback in the league when pressured. So it's not necessarily all on Dalton, but I also think you have to look at the receiving core and the fact that they don't necessarily have a Marvin Jones or a Tyler Eifert out there right now who's able to get open quickly and give Dalton that outlet when he is pressured. I think that's been one of the keys to his success in recent years is when he is pressured, he at least gets rid of the ball. This year, when he gets pressured, it's becoming a sack.
And one interesting thing about that stat is you noticed a lot that quarterbacks tend to have a very similar number in that year over year because you are what you are as far as getting out of pressure. So for it to so drastically change so much for Andy Dalton from being in that 15 to 18% range to all of a sudden to be up around 25, 26 indicates what we knew it would, is that there's new pieces that he's trying to get used to, and clearly that's been a big reason for the adjustment and being able to comfortably get rid of the ball because there's not comfort in those other guys out there.
It's absolutely what it is, and the reason why Dalton has been pretty good at it is because he's a quick decision maker. He will get the ball out of his hands, and like you said, it is consistent year to year. You have a guy like Marcus Mariota who holds the ball a little bit longer. He'll get sacked more than a guy like Andrew Luck, who's just good at avoiding pressure. But Dalton's number's up because he doesn't have that consistent outlet as a receiver, and the pressure's probably coming a little bit quicker than it has in the past. Again, on those stunts, unblocked pressure, a lot harder to handle. So let's blame everybody. It's bad across the board again. Oh boy, he needs to get better, though, because he lost far too many one-on-one matchups against Dallas, against a line that he should do a much better job against.
Yeah, Dallas hadn't exactly been tearing up the world. So New England now this week, the Bengals will take on the Patriots and need to figure out what's going wrong, not just with the O-line, but the entire offense in avoiding all of those pressures. We'll have more on all of that and plenty of everything from the New England game. Looking forward then to Cleveland next week on our weekly edition of Bengals in Focus here at Pro Football Focus. Talk to you later.
All right, now welcome into the latest edition of our Throwback Thursday podcast. I am here with former Bengals quarterback John Kitna, who, of course, to put him just in the Bengals would be incorrect, long 16 NFL seasons with a number of different teams. When you talk about going from Seattle to the Bengals, Detroit and Dallas, product of Central Washington, just catching up with what you're doing now, you're a high school football coach. How's the high school football coach game going in Texas?
It's going well. It's my second year in Texas. I retired after the 2011 season and coached 3 years back where I came from, my alma mater in Tacoma, Washington. Coached 3 years there and then took a job down here last January. Just starting our second year. Three games in, and it's going well. I love coaching. I love having an impact on young men and helping to try to shape and mold their lives. So it's been great.
Yeah, you know, high school football in Texas. I mean, you're in 5A. Waxahachie, right? Is that correct pronunciation?
I mean, that's how it's spelled. It's pronounced Waxahachie.
Waxahachie. Went 6-4 last year, but you know, 5A Texas football. That's no joke. How does I guess it, you know, the shows and does the aura of it all ring true? Was it as real as you thought it would be Friday Night Lights when you got down there?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, we're in a smaller town, you know, single high school town, which is about 45 minutes south of Dallas, which, you know, we just love it. You know, it's a really neat place, and it is. It is, you know, the atmosphere around the games and stuff is really neat. We just played this past Friday, played our rival, who they've been playing for 105 years or so. They played, I think, 93 or 4 different contests now, over 105 years, and we're about 15 miles apart. And it was pretty neat to just see, you know, the stands were full. There was, you know, probably over 12,000 people there, and the bands are great, and you know, the cheerleaders and the drummers, and you know, the whole, like, the whole atmosphere is just tremendous. It's fun to be around, but, you know, I mean, once, when all that's said and done, it's just football. So it's been a lot of fun, though. We love it.
How different is it than, you know, I mean, you grew up in Washington. How different is it playing high school than when you played high school football?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing is when I played high school football, I mean, the scouting that you had was basically, you know, if you went and saw a team or you sent somebody out to go see a team and they would try to draw plays up that they saw or whatever. And now, you know, with the video being on the internet and everything, it's, you know, so it's just so much more of a complex game, and teams, you know, kind of figure out what you're trying to do, and they always have a plan for you. So, you know, you have to stay ahead. So it's just a lot more. I mean, you know, the game, the internet and the availability of information has just made everything, it makes it great, makes it harder, but it makes it great.
You know, kind of going back to your days in Cincinnati, it was a really interesting time that you were here, those 4 years. I mean, you come in 01, so you're there on the tail end of one of the worst runs by any team in NFL mm-hmm. history. But then Marvin Lewis comes in and begins what essentially has been the best run in franchise history. What do you remember about that first year when Marvin Lewis first showed up and his ability to try to change the culture? What do you remember about how things changed when he showed up?
Well, I think the first thing I remember was there was a philosophical switch in the organization when Marvin came in, and you know, really a switch to try to you know, elevate leaders and hold people accountable. And you know, I thought that Marvin and his staff came in and did a great job and you know, of trying to establish that early on. And you know, Marvin, obviously, the way he had done in Baltimore had immediate, you know, credibility in the players' eyes. And so, you know, I just remember it as a time that, you know, I think people were excited. You know, we had some fairly good talent on the team prior, and I think people were excited to kind of watch things unfold. And so that's kind of what I remember, I guess.
Yeah. The 03 season, that game against the Chiefs, I recently they had a poll where people could go on and vote and pick their favorite, you know, top 3 or 4 games in team history. And up there was the game against the then undefeated Chiefs in 2003, where you guys pulled off at that time an upset. And Peter Warwick had a huge day. Is that one of those games that sticks out to you over the course of your career as a special one? Does it stick out to you, or was that just part of a good season?
No, I mean, I certainly remember it, and you know, the Chiefs were rolling at that time. Trent Green and Dante Hall and all those guys. I mean, they were rolling a little bit, but you know, that was kind of when we were just kind of hitting our stride a little bit. And we're playing well, and Peter Warwick was healthy, and Levi Jones was healthy, and you know, so things were, you know, pretty good that time for us, and still would love to see, you know, how far we could have gone if those two had stayed healthy throughout the season. That was a big hit for us when they went down with injuries.
That was a game where the sort of Chad saying things and doing things began, whether we're talking about guarantees and things like that. What was it like playing with Chad?
Man, I people ask me all the time. I love playing with Chad. Matter of fact, I was just at a men's conference this past weekend, speaking at a men's conference, and Chad was the subject of my conversation. I love playing with Chad, and that wasn't the beginning of Chad's guarantees. I mean, he was guaranteeing things the year before when we were 4-12. I think the Houston Texans, and I think there was another game that he had guaranteed some things and stuff. But Chad was never malicious when I was there. He was never malicious, and he just had an extreme desire to get the football in his hands, and I thought he was brilliant. Changing his name, people thought it was stupid. I thought it was brilliant. he gets money from every jersey sale, and so people had to buy a different jersey, and so he gets more money from that. I love playing with him. Obviously, we had some extremely successful years together, and then I got to sit and watch him and Carson blossom for the first couple of years of their relationship too. He's somebody that I look back on my 5 years being around Chad and being with him very fondly.
Yeah. I talked years ago. I was doing a historical podcast looking back on the 2005 season, and it talked to Carson and Chad and those guys. And Carson just talked about sort of the surreal nature for him of being down in that playoff game with the injury and going off in the truck and looking back at the stadium knowing the game was being played back there. Was there a surreal nature of it to you, or did it just feel like another football game despite the fact that you were sort of thrown into the fire there after Carson goes down with the ACL?
No, I guess surreal might be a word. It was almost it's the extremes of emotion because – Carson wasn't just a teammate to me, somebody that I felt was like a brother, my little brother. And so, to see him go down, the one extreme of the emotion is extreme. Like, I'm mourning that. And him not being able to play and just how much love I have for him and respect I have for him. And for him to go down, it was just like, if I hadn't been the backup quarterback, if I was just a friend or I was just in the stands or if I was on a different team at that time, the tears. But on the other end of it, man, I had to go play. And you have to go out there and try to do whatever you can to give your team a chance to win. So it was just the total extremes of emotion, really.
That's really the one thing about that game is that people trying to contain emotions when things like that happen. Did you ever go back and look back at that season? Because, I mean, you guys were on fire and obviously had gone to Pittsburgh and previously and won. And did you ever look back at that season and wonder if that would have been the one? If Carson doesn't go down, or if a ball bouncing one way doesn't happen, or whatever, do you kind of ever look back on it that way? Is that was one of those special teams at that time?
Well, we were a good team. You have to do a lot of things right to win a championship in the NFL. We were a good team, but I don't look back on it and go, oh man, that would have been. You can say that about a lot of things in life, but I don't look at it back at it that way. It was unfortunate that it happened, but at the end of the day, we just weren't able to get it done, and we had to leave at halftime and weren't able to get it done. So
we saw last year in Cincinnati, AJ McCarron comes in and plays and finally breaks that playoff victory drought for the Bengals, and you spent a lot of years where you were, some years you were playing, some years you were backing up. But is that a challenging thing? I mean, the mantra is, okay, prepare to go play that week, but Is that an extra challenge when you are all of a sudden, particularly at the end of a season, thrown into something and have to go win huge games, or is it easier than people? I wouldn't say easier than people think, maybe, to step in because you have been there and you've been practicing all year and preparing to start.
Well, nothing will prepare you for games. So when you're not playing, you know, practice is, you know, probably 30% of the speed of a game. And so nothing's going to prepare you for the speed of a game and the things that can happen in the game and all that stuff. But, you know, that's part of the job of being a backup quarterback, is being as prepared as you can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations on all you've had going on since you walked away from the game, and good luck to your team down in Texas this year. Hope everything goes well for you.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.